Our second case this morning is United States against Coomerly. Counsel for the defense, you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Lieutenant Sheriff. I represent the appellant, Petty Officer Matthew Coomerly. The issue in this case is whether the court-martial had jurisdiction over the offense of distributing an image of child pornography where the appellant posted the image to his internet profile prior to entering active duty and took no steps to further distribute that image after it was initially posted. The answer to this question can depend on two things. First, what is the definition of distribution? That is, does it occur at the time of posting, or does it require either the receipt or downloading by another person? And if the second point, if distribution is complete at the time of posting, is that a continuing offense? Turning to the first point.
Would you agree that if distribution requires someone to actually receive something or a delivery to be made rather than offered, then there is jurisdiction in this case?
If, Your Honor, if Congress specifically defined distribution to contain the element that receipt was required, then yes, that would be the element, and because normally an offense is not complete until the elements are met. So if that was a required element, then yes, that would be the case, and then they would have jurisdiction.
Okay, now I appreciate that's not your argument. I just want to make sure I understand.
Yes, Your Honor.
Compartmenting your...
So the instruction that the military judge gave was wrong, in your view?
No, it was not wrong, Your Honor. It's just the instruction that the military judge gave is just, like any other definite distribution, unfortunately open to interpretation. Because distribution is not defined in the statute at issue, courts have necessarily looked to other areas of the law to figure out what the definition of distribution is. I mean, the appellant's position is that distribution is complete at the time of posting because the definition of distribution in this context is just making the image available to others. I mean, this is also the definition that the government put forward in their brief. We turn to the plain meaning in the dictionary. We also offer the specific example offered in the federal sentencing guidelines and a review of case law with support that distribution is when posting an image to the internet does not require receipt by a third party and is complete at the time of distribution.
But don't some of the plain, is this a battle of the dictionary game? Doesn't the dictionary define distribution as to deliver? Rather than to try to deliver?
The dictionary offers things such as spread out, to disperse, which suggests that distribution is just making it available to other people, not necessarily that...
So if you put the package in the UPS truck and that's it, you've successfully distributed it?
I
wouldn't go down the analogy game that we're going to go back to gas stations and billboards and all that, but... I'm just trying to deal with the plain language thing, dictionary definition.
I mean, appellant would agree that ultimately it depends on how you define distribution. And here, distribution is not defined specifically. If distribution is just causing it to be delivered to another, then yes, in an example, causing it to go to UPS would satisfy that element. And then when all the elements are complete, that's when the offense begins.
Well, that takes me back then to the instruction that the trial judge gave. What he said was to deliver or transfer possession of it to someone else. Now, you said that that wasn't wrong. It was just open to interpretation. How is that open to interpretation? I mean, it seems pretty clear to me. And
I guess I would say it's open to interpretation in the context, because that definition of distribution, I mean, I believe just came from the military bench book, which normally applies to 112 alpha, like to drug offenses.
But
I mean, when we're looking at, I guess, the context of, child pornography, which is how has distribution been defined for the purpose of distributing child pornography through the internet by posting to websites.
Well, in your view, is the posting to the website is the distribution, so he can only, no matter how many people access it, he can only be found guilty of a single distribution?
Yeah, Your Honor, there's one act here and then there's one offense. The fact that more people may be exposed to it, there may be more downloads, could all be relevant considerations for the severity of that distribution. But the distribution is occurring at the time.
Well, what case do you have that stands for the proposition that once someone posts child pornography to this sort of an internet modality, that they can only be found guilty of a single instance of distribution, no matter how many people go and download the image?
Well, I mean, just getting to the point of what is the
definition. Do you have a case that stands for that proposition?
No, the film does not have a specific case that gives a specific definition of distribution or a specific holding that he can only be found guilty of one offense. I mean, there's no case stating specifically the other way. I feel that we are in a new area of law, and you need to rely on the legal principles of, you know, what is a barrier.
From a defendant's perspective, isn't your position a little inconsistent? In other words, under your position, an individual could post something to the internet. No one may ever see it. No one may ever access it. But in your view, that constitutes distribution of child pornography.
Yes, Your Honor. And I believe that reviewing cases dealing with internet and internet distribution, and it supports that conclusion. Unfortunately, for, you know, some appellants who would want to require receipt, the appellant does offer three cases in his brief involving, you know, the civilian courts where the facts of that case just said he was guilty of distribution specifically by posting images to an internet profile. It didn't require receipt by another person. They didn't talk about receipt on the date it was posted. That was in the indictment, and that's what he was found guilty of. I mean, arguably, that wasn't even that definition works to the government's advantage in other situations where they don't need to show that they're a party. But it's the nature of the internet. Just by putting it up there, your purpose is trying to make it available and other people can get it. So that, in we're talking in the context of posting.
You said trying to make available. Why is that distribution? Trying to do something isn't distribution.
I mean, like, you have caused it to, well, I guess trying is one where it is available. The minute you post it to the internet, it is now available to anyone who can get access to that image.
To anyone who can get access to it, but it doesn't indicate that anybody will or had. I mean, that's the problem. In my mind, if they post it, it doesn't mean that anybody has ever seen it or anybody will ever read it. There's not necessarily any receipt. What you're saying isn't necessary.
No, I mean, appellant would argue that the definition of distribution for posting an image to the internet does not require receipt.
And what is your authority for that?
I mean, the authority is just looking at how posting images has been treated, you know, in other contexts and in the child pornography context. Like, it has been held specifically that posting software or copyright image to the internet is distribution. They don't talk about receipt. They don't talk about other people having to get it. I mean, the three cases that the appellant cites to in its brief talk about the appellant there was guilty for distributing because they posted. Posting in the copyright context has been defined to be distribution. So posting, I mean, if we accept the appellant's definition that posting is distribution, we don't need to have a receipt by anyone, and the defense is complete, you know, out of time posting. I mean, you also rely on, I mean, the basic principle that when there are different interpretations of the statute, the proper course of action is to go with, like, the least harsh alternative. I mean, defining the distribution requiring receipt, I mean, could lead to, you know, crazy outcomes where, I mean, the government could merely have every agent in their office take turns downloading images, and you could have 10 distributions or 100 distributions. And in that context, what is attempted distribution? In theory, that everybody on the internet could be available to this. So are you attempting to distribute to every single internet user in the world? Will there be a million attempted distributions there? And, I mean, let's say the person is now in pretrial confinement and the image is still on there. I mean, the government can keep downloading these images. Is he committing more offenses while he's in confinement? If that's how we're going to define distribution by requiring receipt? I mean, it's because of, like, these outcomes where you have these, you know, like, weird situations where if you just define it, that distribution is complete at the time you post it, it's clear, you know, when it occurs, and it's clear when any statute of limitations will run. Because, like, the elements will be completed that date, and that's when the offense will be completed.
If I possess marijuana and I take it out on my porch and put it out there for anybody to take, but nobody takes it, I've possessed it. Have I distributed it?
I mean, I think there's a difference between when we're talking about tangible items. Like, if you put a bag of marijuana on your porch, you would be able to prove conclusively one way or the other whether anyone ever got it. And arguably, like, the day you put it on your porch, you have attempted to distribute it. If no one ever took it, I mean, that would be a clear fact. You would know, I mean, that would not be distribution because someone never got it, but it would obviously be an attempted distribution. I mean, if we're talking about, like, the date the offense was occurred, though, I mean, your act, I mean, when you look at a crime, you're looking at the person's actions and their mens rea. Like, the action occurred at the time they tried to post it. I mean, that's when their act occurred. It didn't occur a year later, 10 years later, when someone, another party, who's committing their own crime.
Well, it sounds to me what you're talking about sounds like attempted distribution. Did he put it on there?
If
somebody might take it, somebody may not.
I mean, if the definition requires receipt, then yes, that could be attempted distribution. I mean, if we take the definition where it does not require receipt, then that is a distribution. And then attempted distribution would be the attempted uploading or the attempted putting on the internet.
Is there any evidence in this case as to whether that site was accessed or not?
No, Your Honor. The only evidence that we have is that the image was put on the profile before he entered active duty, that he took no further steps to modify that profile after that data was on active duty. And the only evidence that we have that anyone looked at it is on 10 August 2006 when the agent actually found it and printed off a copy of it. That's the only evidence we have of any access or any receipt of any kind.
And the agent did that based on the results of an investigation, right?
That's right, Your Honor.
Yeah.
You don't dispute the fact that your client had the ability to go on and remove it during that period?
No, I mean, he had access to that profile. Like, if he remembered it, if he knew about it, he was capable.
And in fact, in June, didn't he go in and either remove it or try to remove it? Or
the image, a year after it was found, almost a year after, we don't know if it was the appellant, but somebody went onto the profile and took the image down right before the court-martial. So apparently the government waited almost a year to take the image off the profile.
That's on June 28th of 2007?
That's right, Your Honor.
But we don't know who did it. The record does not reflect.
I don't believe it's in the stipulation of fact. I don't know if the image was definitely taken down that day. I'm not sure if it was the appellant, if it was the government, or if it was somebody else with access to that profile.
That would make a difference, though, wouldn't it? I mean, if the appellant took it down, that would indicate that he exercised dominion and control over that account during this period.
I mean, appellant knew that he had the ability to remove it.
He had the ability. You agree with that?
He definitely had the ability on that profile. We don't know if he knew it was there or if he remembered it. The one thing is, it also, it took no action on the part of the appellant to keep the image there. The image was no longer under his control in that it was no longer on his hard drive. He didn't have to do anything to keep it there. The appellant could have done nothing, and it would have remained there forever. He didn't have to, unlike a peer-to-peer file sharing situation where the appellant has to actively, each day, keep his computer on or turn the COSLA program on. There's an active component to it every day he's doing it. In this situation, he doesn't have to do anything. It will remain there indefinitely unless the Yahoo server is taken down or the appellant, you know, proactively removes it and goes and takes it down.
In a COSLA case, if someone has prohibited child pornography on their computer and they turn on the COSLA program, does that constitute distribution at that point?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that the Schaffer opinion would support that. The minute you make the file available in your shared folder, that would be distribution.
No, 2 seconds. COSLA allows you to make it available or not make it available. So,
yes, Your Honor.
So you're saying where you use COSLA in a manner that allows others to access it.
Yes, Your Honor.
The answer can't just be COSLA.
No. Like if you activate your COSLA program, any images in your shared folder are now available. So any images in your shared folder you're making available, and that would be distribution at that date. Schaffer.
Now, is that a continuing offense or not? Or is that a single offense? How do we know?
I mean, arguably, the appellant would say it's not a continuing offense. Schaffer and the other cases involving peer-to-peer networking have never held that distribution is a continuing offense. They merely define distribution to include that type of...
But Schaffer relied on the fact that people had accessed it.
That it was accessible by others.
And that people had accessed it.
Well, it's true. In that case, a government agent had accessed it, but they never said that was required to complete the distribution.
They relied on it as part of their analysis.
Yes, sir. I mean, that happened to be a fact in that case where, I mean, there are other cases involving just, they state the posting of images was the distribution, where it wasn't available in that case. Like, appellant doesn't believe Schaffer would have turned out differently if the government agent failed to, you know, print off that image. And in terms of whether it's a continuing offense, I mean, the appellant argues that, like, this should be defined the way the appellant proposes, because to do so otherwise could create a continuing offense, and the appellant relies on the continuing offense doctrine, which is a limited doctrine, which should be applied narrowly, that offenses are normally complete at the time all the elements are met. Here, all the elements are met when you post it. So that's when there could be guilty of the crime. That's when you begin to run any statute of limitations. And there is a presumption against finding a continuing offense, and statute should be interpreted against finding a continuing offense.
I want to get back one more time to the instruction. It's your position here pretty clearly that it need not be received by anyone. It's just the posting.
Yes, sir.
So my question is, did the military judge err when he gave the instruction that distribution means to deliver or transfer possession of it to someone else?
If the meaning behind that instruction meant to specifically require receipt, then yes.
Well, it's deliver to someone else or transfer possession to someone else.
I guess if I don't say that, deliver.
That's not open-ended.
I feel that deliver or distribution are open to interpretation and open, because distribution, normally you would think, requires a receipt, but it's been shown that distribution means multiple things, just that deliver could mean multiple things, and obviously that instruction comes from the law. And the distribution needs to encompass what the law is.
So you don't think that that definition means that someone else has to receive it?
No, I don't believe that that definition would require receipt by another person. And if it did require receipt by another person, then it would be wrong as a matter of law, because the appellant's position is that distribution is defined as not requiring receipt by any other person.
Who hosted the website?
Sorry,
who hosted the website?
The Yahoo website, so.
And did he transfer possession of the image to the website?
He did upload the image to his computer to the Yahoo server, so he did transfer possession to Yahoo.
And did that meet the definition given by the judge trial?
Yes, that would meet both definitions. I mean, if you require receipt, it definitely met that definition because somebody received it. Yahoo received it.
Yahoo received it.
I'm sorry?
Yahoo received it.
Yes, Yahoo received it, yes. And also it would meet the definition of posting. If uploading the image in and of itself, well, I guess uploading involves receipt by another person. So
why does it matter to your argument in response to Judge Urban whether the judge's instruction was ambiguous or erroneous?
Well,
you seem to be defending the judge at all costs when...
I'm sorry?
What do you lose by saying the judge got it wrong?
I don't think we lose any.
I was just wondering why you were working so hard to find ambiguity in language that doesn't seem very ambiguous to me.
I'm sorry, I see I'm out of time, if I can answer your question.
You can take the time needed to answer Judge Baker's question.
Thank you, Your Honor. I guess, the appellant's definition does not require receipt, and that posting in and of itself would be distribution.
No, I understand that, it's just not clear to me why it matters then whether the judge is ambiguous or got it wrong. Either way, if your position is correct, you win.
That would be, yes, appellant would agree with that, Your Honor. I mean, to correlate with what Chief Judge Efron was getting at, that if we want to require receipt, the process of uploading includes a receipt by either Yahoo or that server. So that receipt was complete at the time of uploading, and that's one of the elements to be met also. So even if you don't want to require receipt, I mean, that fits. If you want to require receipt, the receipt could easily also just be.
And does the record tell us anything about the role of Yahoo in this process? That is, do we know whether this is a situation of which there are others, but we don't know in the record. I don't question whether the record in this case tells us whether this is a situation in which Yahoo had the ability to do something about that image.
I mean, Yahoo definitely had the ability, if they had known about it, to take that image down.
I'm not asking about your general knowledge. I'm asking whether the record tells us.
No, Your Honor, there's nothing in the record.
Thank you.
That would speak to that.
Thank you.
Is there anything in the record that indicates that Yahoo was aware of it?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Lieutenant Duke Kim, and along with Colonel Louis Puglio, we represent the United States. First, the government would like to clarify that we aren't arguing the continuing offense doctrine only applies where a charged criminal conduct, where it has no applicability where a charged criminal conduct itself extends over a period of time, as it does in this case. It only applies in cases where the crime has actually ended and a court can use this doctrine to toll the statute of limitations. if we were to toll the statute of limitations from 2000, when the appellant argues that the crime actually ended, it still wouldn't give the military jurisdiction. So obviously the government would not use this doctrine. Second, using the definition that this court put forth, that actual delivery is required, then in this case, the government would have jurisdiction, since the NCIS agent did take delivery after the appellant was on active duty.
Do you quarrel with the military judge's instruction?
Yes, Your Honor. The government's position is that delivery is not required to another person. We think the definition of distribution is broader, and we point to the sentence after. If you look at the military judge instructed that distribution means to deliver to the possession of another, where deliver means actual constructive or attempted delivery. So if we look at attempted delivery or attempted transfer, that does not require someone actually taking possession of this item.
So how many counts of distribution could the government have charged this appellant with had it chosen to not charge a single count of August 10th?
Your Honor, it would still be one, because we're looking at distribution from the standpoint of the offender, and all he did was one continuing act.
Well, why was it then that they charged him on August 10th, the date that it was received by the agent? Is that just coincidence?
Yes, Your Honor, because practically we would never find out how someone would distribute something until someone actually takes possession of it.
But in this case, he posted it. It was pulled off and copied on August 10th, and the government charged him with distribution on August 10th.
Yes.
Now, are we to understand that the fact that that was the date that the agent pulled it off has no meaning?
Your Honor, it's the government's position that they could have charged him with any date. That would be the easiest date, because to prove the conduct in court, that is when the agent actually took possession of it.
To prove the conduct that he received it on that date.
Yes, Your Honor.
So just to be clear,
does
distribution require that someone else take possession of it or not?
No, not under the definition that the military judge gave.
Well, I'm asking you what your definition is. I mean, is it the government's position that distribution requires that someone else take possession of it or not?
No, Your Honor.
So when, in your view, did distribution take place in this case? What was the act, and when was the time that distribution took place in this case?
Distribution would be, in this case, it would be an ongoing passive type of distribution.
Well, what was the date, and what was the act that constituted the distribution in this case?
It would be the whole duration of time, Your Honor.
So why wouldn't that be a continuing offense?
It would be a continuing act. What we're trying to distinguish is between the continuing offense doctrine and an actual continuing act. We analogize the Tenth Circuit's case in United States v. Schaefer, where when he used a peer-to-peer network, he wasn't just distributing on that one date he opened up his network or at the specific times when people downloaded those files. He was distributing during that whole period of time. So what the issue this court has to answer is, how do we define the conduct of distribution?
Not what definition are you relying on?
We propose the definition in the military judge's bench book, which the military judge used in this case, and also the trial judge.
So back to my colleague's front porch that he's told us about.
The marijuana example where...
So is that distribution or not?
I put it on the porch, it sits there, I take no further action, but nobody picks it up. Is that distribution?
I think that would depend on, that would determine on a question of fact, Your Honor, because...
Well, you got the facts.
Yeah, we just gave you the facts. Nice try.
Well, because it could be, Your Honor, because there could be attempted delivery, and that would determine on the mens
rea. Well, I'm not talking about attempt, and I don't think my
right.
colleague
no,
is
I'm
either.
Not. I'm trying to see whether... sounds like the government's just picking whatever works in your case.
Let me try a variation on that. He has a bag of marijuana, and he puts it on the front stoop of the headquarters of Yahoo.
That would be distribution.
Okay.
And Because if we look at the definition of distribution...
Well, go back to my question. That was an easy one. Yeah, that doesn't solve my problem. Is it or is it not distribution when it's parked on my colleague's front porch and no one takes it?
Yes, Ron, that would be distribution because he had the requisite mens rea. I mean, the problem in that case...
So all those cases we get involving possession are really distribution cases?
No, Your Honor.
They're mischarged?
No, Your Honor. They could have been charged as distribution.
Well, they could have been charged as possession with intent to distribute, but how could they have been charged as distribution?
Under this definition, it could be, because the definition of distribution as it's described in the military judge's bench book is delivery includes attempted delivery. And that would obviously be attempted delivery.
Okay, well, here's another twist. I find it in the house. My kid has it. I want to get rid of it. I take it out and throw it in the trash can. Somebody comes along, takes a big sniff, says, wow, what's in there, picks it out, and takes it home. Have I distributed it?
No, Your Honor.
I have not distributed it because I didn't have the mens rea.
Well, in that case...
I mean, we're not... is distribution a specific intent crime?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
If we can go back, if I can describe to you our definition of distribution... we use those words, but in that definition of distribution, there are two elements that are inherent, the ability to distribute. And that's what we're missing in that second hypothetical. When you put it in that trash can, you relinquish that ability to distribute, that control element. So you would not be distributing.
Where do you get your definition of distribute? Where does it come from?
The military judge's bench book, and that is... basically the same definition we have with the model federal instructions, Your Honor.
Okay, so the act of, let's get back to this case. He posted the thing before he was on active duty and subject to the code. He took no further action. But is it the act of refraining from taking it down, or is it the act of its, or is it the fact of its being there and being accessible? Or does it matter?
It would be the fact that it was there and accessible, because what he's doing, the appellant in this case, what he's using the website for is a conduit for his own action. So instead of him actually giving out the child pornography, he's using the website to do this. And so no one would argue that whatever the website was giving out, the appellant himself was also giving out, because he had control of the website, as the appellant conceded.
Counsel, on the date that an individual posts otherwise illegal pornography to a website, is that person guilty of distribution on that date? The date that a person posts child pornography to a website, is the person guilty of distribution on that date?
Yes, Your Honor. And
so this appellant was guilty of distribution on the date prior to his entry into military service in which he made the posting to the website?
Well, he would be distributing and could be guilty of distributing from the date he posted.
Right. I'm not talking about until. I'm talking about on that date. On the date that he posted it, before he was in military service, he committed the crime, in the government's view, on that date.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then, in your view, did he commit that crime or multiple crimes between the time of the initial posting and the time that it was taken down?
It was one continuing act.
One continuing act. And it doesn't matter then how many hits there were. In the government's view, during that process, he couldn't be charged with multiple acts each time it was received.
No, Your Honor. It's one ongoing act.
Is that the position of the Navy, Marine Corps, Government Appellate Division? Is it the position of the Department of Defense? Is it the position of the United States with respect to the interpretation of this offense? Are you representing here the view of your division, or is it the position of the United States with respect to all crimes of this nature that the offense is a single offense at the time of the posting, and that it continues on, and it cannot be charged as multiple offenses?
That would be the opinion of the appellate government.
Okay. So we don't know whether that's the position of the United States then. What about the, and this is just by analogy, the law of defamation. Somebody makes a posting to an internet of material that's considered to be defamatory. Courts have held, analogizing to print defamation, that it's a single offense that occurs at the time, and not multiple offenses and not a continuing offense. The idea there is to fix a point in time in which the crime has been committed. Why shouldn't we apply that same analogy here, absent express language from the Congress, or perhaps from the President, but from the Congress, as to whether this should be a continuing offense or not?
The difference is in the harm, Your Honor. When we say distributing something, we are distributing something tangible, in this case, child porn. In the case of defamation, the harm is complete at that point. Whereas, you know, other...
If it's up there on the web, every time somebody sees it, isn't the harm compounded?
It could become compounded, Your Honor, because, and that would be more of a sentencing issue. Yes, I agree with you, Your Honor. But whereas someone else, if you leave child pornography on a website, an additional person can actually take this item. That would be a different type of conduct rather than defamation.
How is taking child pornography off the web and taking defamatory matter off the web any different?
We would distinguish it by saying that it's a tangible.
Is it because one's a crime and one's a civil offense, or what?
Well, that is a factor, Your Honor. For example, in copyright law, most circuit courts have refused to look at other definitions of distribute because copyright actually defines.
Well, you got a fair use doctrine in copyright. Do you have a fair use doctrine in child pornography? Okay, well then, how's that analogous?
Well, in copyright law, we don't use the same definition, and circuit courts have not used the same definition as for example, under 2252A. We would just distinguish it by saying that it's not a tangible product that you can take off the website as defamation.
So as a result of, if we adopt the government's view here, then so long as the material is posted on the web, irrespective of whether anyone accesses it, there's no statute of limitations.
Yes, there would be a statute of limitations.
And when does it start and when does it stop?
It would start upon posting. It would start upon when the picture would be taken down from the website, when it's not available to others anymore.
So as long as it's on the website, the statute continues to run forever.
Yes, Your Honor. Because the harm is actually continuing at that point, and it still does meets the elements of the offense, that there is an ability for this website to deliver to other people. And we also have to look at the statute. It doesn't just say distribute, it says knowing distribution. And so at that point, the appellant put it up there and he was knowingly distributing. I think at that point,
well, if it's a continuing offense, say he puts it up and 2 years later he's totally forgotten about it. So he has no current mens rea. Does it make any difference?
That would be a defense, Your Honor.
Oh, that would be a defense.
That would be a defense, but it wouldn't go towards jurisdiction. We would still have jurisdiction, Your Honor. But during trial, he could make that defense. Because there is a mens rea element of knowing. It is not specific intent, Your Honor.
Okay.
Just to be clear, it's your position that the fact that the specification says that the distribution occurred on 10 August is just irrelevant as to when the distribution took place?
No, Your Honor. In this case, that's when the actual distribution took place, where someone received it. So to actually prove all the elements of, I guess, of the crime as charged, they would have to prove that date.
And what element is proven by including the date August 10th?
That someone actually received it.
But I just thought you said that it didn't matter if anybody
yeah.
received it.
Wait, wasn't your answer to me that the offense in this case was...
Yes, Your Honor.
committed on the date that he put it in?
We're saying that the definition is actually broader than that, whereas they did put in an element that they did not need to prove. And just as a second, if you read the second part of Schaefer, the prosecutor did that in the case. They added an element of specific intent. And the judge in that case said, you didn't have to do that, but since you did that, you have to prove that element.
Okay, well, since they did it here, did it have any meaning?
No, Your Honor.
Well, I thought you just got done saying that, yes, it mattered, because that was when someone received it.
No, they actually had to prove. What I was saying is they have to prove that element, but they did not have to put that in the charge.
Well, if it's an element, the last time I checked, it has to be in the charge and it has to be proved. If it's an element. If it's not an element, no. If it is an element, yes.
You're saying it's a gratuitous element. That was just a
yes, Your Honor.
Bonus element that they gave the appellant.
A make weight.
Counsel, I'm not sure I follow that argument. It would appear, maybe I'm making an assumption that isn't valid from the record, that under your theory, they would have charged this from the date of posting until the date that it was taken down. But the reason they didn't do it from the date of posting is that he wasn't subject to military jurisdiction at the time. Is that a fair inference from this record?
Well, if they charged it for that whole duration, he would have been on active duty for part of the time, and they would still have jurisdiction.
Right, but he wasn't on active duty at the time of the posting. He wasn't on active duty for the entire time, was he? He was?
Or no, he wasn't.
He wasn't, yeah. And so I assume your theory is they picked out one date because they were doing him a favor. They didn't have to charge him with the whole period.
Well, just realistically on how the crime is committed, that would be the date that you would tangibly see when, you know, this product was moved from one person to another.
But it's not necessary.
The distribution itself.
Right. Okay. So they could have charged him from the date he took the oath of enlistment until eternity, or until the date that it got pulled.
Well, not for eternity in this.
No, because it was pulled. Until the date it got pulled. Okay.
That's the conduct of distribution when, if you look at the statute, the conduct of distribution is someone giving it up. That's what we're...
Okay. NBC. Well, why isn't the August 10th date the date that the distribution took place in this case? And if that's the case, what's the problem with that?
We have no problem with that, Your Honor. If this court would like to include the actual receipt into the definition of distribution, we have no objections to that, Your Honor.
You're speaking for the entire Department of Defense, saying the next time the case comes around and someone posts an item to the internet, that person can't be convicted of distribution until someone else actually receives it?
No, that's why I'm not arguing that position, Your Honor. But if that's what the court decides to do, we will accept that.
Well, I mean, why can't I guess my question is, or you could either have. It's distributed when it's posted, and that's the only date it's distributed. You could have it's distributed when it's posted, and the distribution continues until it's taken down. You could have it's distributed when it's posted, and it's distributed again when someone accesses it. Which is it that you are arguing for? The first, the second, or the third?
Sorry, what was the second one, Your Honor?
That it's distributed when it's posted, and the distribution remains or continues until it's taken down.
That's what we would be arguing for, Your Honor.
So then, again, why did you use the date August 10th in the charge sheet? If you need to confer with the colonel, feel free.
Yeah, we go to the point where our answer to Stuckey's question, where they could have charged it for those dates. It was for convenience, Your Honor. And that's, again, that's what I was saying, where it's easier, for example, if you're presenting this to a jury, it's easier for them to conceptualize that, where you know, we had a point where he was offering this child pornography to the World Wide Web, and there was a point that someone actually took it, and that's how someone would prove, a reasonable prosecutor would want to prove his case.
So it's a question of proof.
Yes,
argument. Okay. But it is the government's view that if I post child porn, and once a week for a year, a eighth grader from the local school accesses my site and prints off the document, that's one count. You've got me on one count.
Yes, Your Honor. And that could be an aggravating factor, that a child came every single
episode. Different child, right? Different child, but that's just one count.
Because the reason for that, Your Honor, is the actual conduct of the appellant hasn't changed. His conduct was distributing, whereas other people came to his conduct, that would be an aggravating.
And in the drug context, if I'm, instead of doing pornography, I'm doing drugs, that's still just one count of distribution, because the conduct's the same as distributing?
Only in this case, Your Honor. For example, if you were actually physically giving it to someone else, then you've reinitiated a different conduct.
But I mean, aren't those different counts? Because in each instance, the harm that the statute is aimed at is taking place, and how is that any different than every time someone accesses and downloads an image of child pornography that's been placed on the website? Why isn't that the exact same thing?
Can I answer the question, Your Honor?
You may answer that question.
It's because if you look at the way the statute is written, we're looking at it from the point of view from the appellant. What did he do wrong? And what he did wrong in this case was his conduct of posting it on the website and distributing it in that fashion. Whereas other people come and pick these child pornography images off the website, while he's responsible for that conduct, his conduct has not changed. It's one continuous conduct.
Now, I don't want to belabor this, but getting back to the definition that the military judge gave, you seem to go to that, the second part of it, where he said that it could be an attempt. So is it your position that when he posted it, he was attempting to distribute? Is that how it fits into the definition?
From the date he posted it until the date it was taken off, it was distribution, because definition, the second part of that definition, encompasses actual, constructive, or attempted.
Okay, and what part of that second part are you relying on?
The attempted portion.
Okay, so that's an attempted distribution once he posts it.
Well, it's attempted delivery. It is what that second portion is defining, the first portion of the definition of to deliver to the possession of another. So how the government reads that is, the actual definition is to deliver to the possession of another, but you don't actually have to deliver. You can have attempted delivery.
Attempted delivery is distribution.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But they didn't deliver to Yahoo? Appellant did not. I mean, I'm asking you a question. Wasn't their delivery to Yahoo? Or no?
I guess you can look at it that way, Your Honor. But how we look at it is more as, the appellant was using Yahoo, the service, as a conduit. So he didn't actually deliver. He was using that, I guess, like a peer-to-peer server. He's using the website like a peer-to-peer server to actually distribute in that way. If there are no more questions, please don't.
Thank you, counsel. Does the defense have rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. Time for me, I guess I'd like to just focus on the continuing offense doctrine a little bit. The government seems reluctant to want to call this a continuing offense. Appellant's not sure where the legal authority is that calling a crime continuing with continuing harm wouldn't be a continuing offense. In this situation, if we take a definition offered by the government that distribution is posting, the crime is complete at the time we posted it. I believe it's a firmly held legal principle that the continuing result of an offense does not make an offense. The offense here is posting it. The result of the offense is that somebody might look at it and somebody might download it. The fact that you have these continuing results after the day of the crime doesn't mean that that is a crime itself. The crime itself is when the elements are met, and the elements are met when you uploaded that image. The practical effect of calling this a continuing offense or saying it's a continuing course of conduct, the practical effect would be to extend the statute of limitations indefinitely, because there's nothing here the opponent would have to do to get that image down. So in theory, this image could stay up on the Yahoo profile. I mean, you could completely forget about it, and 50 years later, we can come back and be like, hey, the government found it 50 years after you posted it, and we're not going to prosecute you for that. There's a clear policy enunciated through Congress, federal statute, that a statute of limitations should not be extended unless expressly done so by law. So by finding this a continuing offense or calling this a continuing course of conduct would have the practical effect of extending Article 43 indefinitely for posting an image of child pornography. And then mainly looking at what is a continuing offense or a continuing course of conduct, you don't just look at the harm. You look at the conduct. A continuing offense, your traditional example, conspiracy, you look at the continuing harm, and you look at the continuing actions of the appellant. Here, the appellant would agree that the continuing harm exists because the result of the crime can continue. But there is no continuing action. The appellant took one act. There's no evidence he ever took another act. His act was complete at the time of posting. Crimes are generally complete when the elements are met. All the elements are met when he posted that image. That's when the crime is complete, and that's when any statute of limitations is the crime. Because the crime is complete before you enter active duty, the court-martial doesn't have jurisdiction over it. Because even though the results may have been ongoing, the results aren't the offense. The action is the offense. So the offense was complete before entering active duty at the time of posting. Unless the court has any other questions.
What effect, if any, in your view, does the statement in paragraph 51 of the stipulation of fact that on or about August 2007, appellant took actions trying to remove the image from the website?
I mean, the appellant does agree that he had the capability of taking that image down. And the appellant would agree that if there was evidence that he was maintaining this image, going to that profile, altering it, doing stuff to it, if there was a constant maintaining of the image, that would get closer to your definition of continuing offense, where there's a continuing course of conduct, a continuing harm. I mean, here he took the image down because there's a letter to it by the government. He already been indicted. And even if it is a continuing offense would end at the time of the indictment. So this was really just anyone could have taken it down. Yahoo, he could have taken it down. It was just the practical effect of him being alerted to it by the government. So we wouldn't say the distribution was reinitiated after indictment at the time of taking it down. The distribution was complete at the time of posting.
Thank you, counsel. Thank both counsel for your presentation today. The case is now submitted. That completes our oral arguments for this week, and the clerk will adjourn the court.